Hello, were you recording, by the way? I didn't check that before I started. Yeah,
yeah.
I might keep that bit in. Hello, and welcome to Condensed History Gems with me, Greg Chapman.
And me, Jem Didichu.
And Jem, once again, now I know that your other podcast, Neon, goes in for this big, flashy sound effects and everything else as it goes through. But Jem, can I just say that I've heard your sound. I'm impressed. It's good. But nothing you had on Neon so far, Jem, compares with the sound of the bells, which signify it's another argument episode to be had. So, Jem, as always, or as commonly, you're laying down the rules of the argument. What are we arguing about today?
The most pointless war in history. Now, I guess the only thing to say about this one, because let's see how pointless they are, but sometimes very, very small scraps. For example, the fighting between Al Capone and these Irish gangsters in Chicago in the 1920s was referred to as the Beer War. But come on, we're only talking about, you know, I mean, fine, one death is one death too many over who gets to sell beer. But, you know, we're talking about a few dozen men dying over a decade. That's not really a war. So I'm talking about, you know, a proper military campaign. But, you know, it has to be pointless. Lives had to have been lost. Very little had to have been achieved. Or maybe the whole thing was completely an utter illusion. If you want to argue, and it's worth mentioning two great philosophers. There's Boy George, who says, "War is stupid and people are stupid." Very wise words there. And of course, Edwin Starr, "War, huh, good God, y'all, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing." So if you wish to take either of those great philosophers from the 70s or 80s and point out that all wars are pointless, I take your point, but I'm going to push past those great intellectual masterminds and say some wars have better reasons for fighting than others.
I think that's a fair point. I mean, what it does do immediately is one of your caveats there completely scuppered my argument for the most pointless war on record. And so I've actually left without an argument. Mine sunk without a trace. But I might argue it anyway. I might ignore your rules and I'll make my argument for the most pointless war on record anyway, because I like the story of it. Because the thing is, when I started to look at this, Jem, I did start to look at the most pointless war. Actually, before I go any further, because I don't want to now scuppy your argument going back the other way, what is your war going to be?
Well, see, I had two. Yeah, as we've discussed previously, we genuinely don't know what happens. And on one occasion, we got sort of caught out by this when we both agreed that the Mongols were the greatest army in history. So I actually had two in my back pockets, because you couldn't possibly have two yourself, so I could always adapt. So I'll tell you what my two are. The Crimean War and the Vietnam War. So, yeah, if we want to talk about those, we absolutely can. But over to you, Greg. What was yours?
Well, mine has already been a bit complicated. Well, the first thing I actually did was I thought, well, I will try just finding out some pointless wars. And I found a couple of articles online about pointless wars. And one of the ones I looked at was the War of the Golden Stall in 1900.
Yes. You know, that's a good one, yeah.
It's a good one, but my trouble with that one was, and this was a war fought, that actually, the bottom line, okay, for those people who don't know, the Golden Stall, this was the Ashanti Empire, the British had gone in, and the
This
incoming,
is in modern-day Ghana, everybody, and I've actually been there.
Fantastic. Did you see the Golden Stall?
No, I did not, but I've seen how important those stalls are to that culture.
They're very important. It is where the Ashanti King sat, and the British governor had come in. It had been taken over by the British, and the governor, Sir Frederick Hodgson, decided that when he came in, because he now ruled, he should be able to sit on the Golden Stall, the Golden Throne that the king sat on. And this was sacred. This had such significance. And he thought he could just walk in there, declare himself the ruler, and sit on that stool. And because of that, this whole war broke out. There was a big rebellion, a big uprising, and everything else. And this got listed on one of these sites that we looked at as a pointless war. And I kind of looked at this and I thought, well, yes, I agree that the idea of him sitting somewhere seems pointless, but at the same time, this was not you know, this wasn't someone just going in and going, ah, there's a chair, I'll sit on it. This was something real significance. This was somebody coming in, somebody really taking over, somebody absolutely going to going to ground to say, right, not only am I ruling the country, but I'm going to do it in a way that's obnoxious as possible and show the people here that, you know, we have total control. And that really is why the uprising started. So a lot of the sort of the pointless wars I found are ones where, yes, if you look at it, you know, very basically without digging into the symbolism and what was behind it all, it superficially looks quite pointless. But underneath, there is a real layer of meaning to the war, and it actually was about something entirely different. So I bounced around this, and I eventually came up with a pointless war, and it's outside of your rules, Jen, but I don't care because...
All right, well, let's hear it. What is it?
I like it. It's a funny story. I think the most pointless war on record is the 335 Years' War. I don't think there is a war more pointless than that one.
Hang on, is this the one with something like Cornwall versus Norway or something?
I beg your pardon, Cornwall versus... You take a war that lasted 335 years and you say Cornwall... It was the Netherlands and the Isles of Scilly.
Oh, come on! That wasn't fun. I was close. Yes, this is... okay, please just before you go there, just going back to the War of the Golden Stool, you know, I hear you on that one. I don't think that's necessarily a bad choice. You're right. It was about colonial power, and it wasn't sort of arbitrary. It meant something. But at the same time, I would encourage people to actually read up on this, because this is an example of, if you want to talk about imperial excesses and you know, evil colonials, that's there. That's absolutely there. However, the first column of British soldiers who were sort of armed to the teeth with modern weapons were ambushed in the jungles and basically slaughtered. You know, no prisoners taken, complete massacre. It led to a sort of civil uprising that lasted, you know, I think over a year. And the golden stool was hidden. And it was one of these things where ultimately British imperial might won and sort of conquered the area, but nobody ever got to sit on the stool. So the locals thought that it was sort of a moral victory, as it were, because they never actually got to do the thing that they set out to do in the first place. But, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, died. And it wasn't all one way. You know, this idea that, I mean, look, fine, what right did British soldiers have to be in Ghana in the first place? None, absolutely none. But does that give the Ghanaians the right to massacre people and give them no chance to actually surrender? That's not a good thing either, okay? You might say, oh, it was a grim necessity. Well, it's still got the word grim in that sentence. So anyway, I do recommend people do that. But now, on to the far sillier one about a 335-year war. Over to you, Greg.
I'd just like to say we've now managed to get a third of the way through the podcast, and so far we've only discussed really the one we're not talking about rather than the ones we are. So we're actually going to, at this point in time, debate the most pointless war. And just so everyone is clear where the lines are set, we have on one side of the debate the 335-year war fought between the Netherlands and the Isles of Scilly. And on the other side of the debate, which one of your two are you actually going to stick with?
I'll go with Crimean.
We're going to go with the Crimean War, which led to the death of thousands upon thousands of people. Well, okay, so...
About 500,000 casualties.
Well, I'll admit then, that is just a few more casualties than the 335 years war managed in total. Now, I do take your point from the start of the episode. I would not have counted something like a gang war or something like that as a war, but this one was fought between nations. Let's not forget that. And when I say fought between nations, I am kind of extending things slightly, because the fact of the matter is the 335 years war was fought between the Netherlands and the Isles of Scilly, and it resulted in the grand total of zero deaths and the grand total of zero shots being fired. It is actually the world's longest bloodless war. It just kept going, and it's an incredibly pointless war, and it's one that carried on. But the important thing I think is that this is a proper war, in my opinion, in the sense that war was properly declared, and at the end of the war, a peace treaty was properly signed. It was all done officially. This was a real war. So before I go into too many details about how we ended up in this situation and, you know, the crucial nature of this pointless war, Jem, just give us a brief introduction to the Crimean War as well.
Well, the Crimean War, the reason why I say it's pointless is because technically it was over a stolen Christmas ornament from a church in Bethlehem. Yes, that Bethlehem, for the record. What it was actually about was Bethlehem at that time was in the Ottoman Empire. And what was happening is the Ottoman Empire by the mid-19th century was crumbling between... was crumbling, and you had these external powers interfering. And Russia was saying they had the right to protect all Orthodox Christians, and you had France saying they had the right to protect all Catholic Christians. And this was causing problems in the places like the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem or the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. And Russia used this stealing of one of their ornaments as an excuse to actually start invading the Ottoman Empire. And they literally led to armies marching into the Balkans, which is a very long way away from Bethlehem, which is in Palestine / Israel. Let's not go into that now. But the point is, it led to a real war. And because the Ottomans were being sort of pushed back so readily by the Russians, it led to France and Britain backing the Ottomans in this fight, and therefore we had fighting. You know, it's called the Crimean War because that's where most of the fighting happened, but I've already mentioned the Balkans. So there was the Balkans, fighting the Crimea, fighting in various different oceans, including the Pacific, by the way, and also in the Caucasus as well. There was a city called Kars, K-A-R-S, which had an epic siege where the Ottoman and British sort of soldiers held off the Russians. Eventually it fell, but it was so bloody that by the end of the war, Kars was actually returned back to the Ottoman Empire. So you're talking about years of fighting, misery for millions of soldiers from all nations. We're talking about 500,000 casualties and about 125,000 of those being deaths. We had disease. We had the Battle of Balaclava, the Charge of the Light Brigade, blah, 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 blah. And at the end, the church ornament was returned. But really, beginning versus the end, not a lot changed in the geopolitical state of things. Thousands, hundreds of thousands died or were maimed, and nothing changed. And it was completely pointless. And fundamentally, it didn't fix the problems in the Ottoman Empire either. All it did was buy its time so it could limp on a few more generations until it eventually collapsed at the end of World War One. So there's nothing funny there, but it's you know, it's just a really depressing, because it's like, well, what was the point of that then?
And the trouble that I have with that is that we could, as you said, you could start to make that very similar argument about an awful lot of wars. What was the point of that then? But as you say, there were, at the end of the day, some results of this, some political results. There's certainly no question, if we went back and we took the Crimean War out of history, if we erased the Crimean War from history, things would have been different. As you say, it allowed the Ottoman Empire to perhaps limp on for a few more years. Well, that does make a difference to the way the world works. And if you just say, oh, well, not a lot changed over that time, well, the Crimean War was responsible for some major changes not directly related to the war. I will bring into the discussion Miss Florence Nightingale.
Well, actually, before we go into those things, my point is, let's imagine Russia didn't invade the Balkans in the first place. In other words, you know, the trigger for war didn't happen either. nothing changed. Really, nothing changed in terms of the politics, in terms of the land ownership. Nothing changed. So that's the problem. But you're quite right. If you want to look at spin-offs, you're talking about battlefield medicine did improve. But, I mean, this isn't a deliberate thing because of the war. You got Mary Seacole, you got Florence Nightingale. You've also got the invention of the cigarette. Everyone smoked pipes up until that point, but the Turks used basically cartridge paper from their guns and rolled up tobacco, which is why Turkish cigarettes were considered such a good thing, or particularly potent for many years after that. You also got the invention of the balaclava, war correspondence, and also the first use of a railway in a war. But I think anybody would happily throw that. I mean, those things could absolutely have occurred in other wars at other points. All those things could have been thrown away, and I think that we'd rather have the people still alive.
Oh, I'm not suggesting that, you know, we would need those things. My point is just that the war that you have chosen is one where it did actually have an impact on the world. Therefore, in its way, there was point to it. There were things different as a result of that war, at the end of the war, than at the beginning. However, it's now my turn to bring a little bit more information about the most pointless war in history, which was, of course...
Please do.
Which was, of course, the 335-year war. Well,
what's it actually called? It can't just be named after a number. I think it was linked to something, wasn't it? Like the War of Spanish Succession or something like that.
No. It's just referred to, as far as I know, it's just referred to as a 335-year war. I mean, why would you make it any more complicated than that? Now, the War of Spanish Succession does sort of play into this as well.
Aha!
Because the fact of the matter is that... Yes, but it's a minor side point. But the fact of the matter is that the Dutch, what were called at the time, they had the United Provinces of the Netherlands. Okay, this isn't Holland. This is the United Provinces of the Netherlands, had been assisting the parliamentarians in the British Civil War. That's because they'd got their independence from Spain thanks to British help. They'd had British help in the 80 Years' War as well. They wanted to maintain their relationship, their alliance with the British. And the trouble is that the British were in the middle of a civil war and the Dutch had to back one of the two sides. And they backed the parliamentarians, which in the short term was a good call. And the parliamentarians had swept across the country. They'd taken it over. And one of the very last little holdouts for the royalist troops was the Isles of Scilly. And the Dutch Navy were actually positioned around the Isles of Scilly to help out. And they suffered heavy losses from the royalist fleet. And so the admiral of the Dutch fleet, and I do apologise, our usual apology for pronunciation here, Martin Harpersoon Tromp, he decided that he actually wanted to get reparations for the ships that had been damaged by the royalist troops. And so he issued a demand for reparations, and none were forthcoming from the people of the Isles of Sicily. And so he notes in his diary, that according to his commission, he had declared war on the Isles of Sicily. So war officially declared. Well, what happens next is the Isles of Sicily fall to the parliamentarian troops. The Dutch Navy basically go home. There's no real point having a major battle. And the war continues. And obviously, Jem had lots to bring in. He had the charge of the Light Brigade and everything else. I've got 335 years of the people in the Isles of Sicily basically just hanging around Scilly Isles, just basically hanging around. I've got the Dutch basically going home. And eventually, people began to decide that this war didn't exist. And Jem, I know that's an argument you could make, but the war did exist, and it existed to the extent that eventually the Dutch embassy in London were actually asked if they would officially say that the war didn't exist. And this happened in 1986. And at this point in time, the Dutch embassy actually had to go to work because they can't just say, oh, no, there wasn't really a war. The war was a legal thing. And they looked into it and the Dutch embassy staff decided that actually the war was legitimate. It had been going on for the past 335 years, and so they had to send the Dutch ambassador over to the Isles of Scilly to sign a peace treaty. And so finally, on the 17th of April, 1986, the war, this tragic war, this war that had cost absolutely nothing, came to a close. And the ambassador did actually say, he did make an apology to the people of the Scilly Isles, because he did say that it must have been harrowing to the people on the islands to know that the Dutch could have attacked them at any minute.
Is that true?
That's true. He did actually say that in his speech. I think possibly more as a joke than anything else. But no, he did say it must have been harrowing to know that we could have attacked at any moment.
Going back to our podcast about law, I guess that means that prior to 1986, had the Dutch army or, you know, paratroopers or something landed on the Isles of Scilly, they could have legitimately saying, well, we're at war here, and taken them over.
I believe they certainly could. And it would have been a very complicated thing, because at that point in time, we're running down a whole rabbit hole of independence. I know, for the record, there are similar situations as this. I believe Tony Blair, at some point when he was in office, signed a peace treaty with Texas, because there is this complicated thing, and it happens a few times around the world, of having a war with a part of a country that was separate, that then gets taken up to be part of a larger whole. So, for example, the British had a war with Texas. Texas then became part of the United States. The war ended, but there was never an official peace treaty signed. So we are into the technical legalities of war, but I don't think you can have a much more pointless war than one where absolutely nothing happens for over 300 years except for a declaration of war. And then, I mean, the embassy staff sending an ambassador over and actually signing a peace treaty. I mean, the war is there for all to see, Jem.
I mean, if you want to talk about maybe the nicest war in history, I would agree. But I think to make it pointless, there has to have been something, you know, it's effort versus reward. There are, you know, World War II is the simple bloodiest war in human history, but we destroyed fascism in the West and in the East as well. I think that they were ultimately worthwhile, because if you think about what would Europe look like under the Nazis, not a good thing. I think we can all agree on that. And so, you know, yours is the nicest war, the silliest war, the least bloody war. All these things I'll give tick, tick, tick. But it's not exactly pointless, because there was no effort expended in the first place. Whereas what I'm saying about something like the Crimean War is a huge amount of men, materials, life, blood, money was spent for no discernible gain in any possible way. And, you know, everything ended up at the end. You have Englishmen dying in what is now modern-day Ukraine to keep the Ottoman Empire Ottoman, which isn't even a thing anymore. So it's just really bizarre and really pointless, ultimately. So I take your point. It's a great story, but it's so lackluster, it doesn't even have a proper name. You know, the thing that always bugged me, I can never quite remember which way round these are, but there's the War of Spanish Succession and the War of Austrian Succession, which are also fairly pointless. At least they've got names. There's the 80 Years' War, 100 Years' War, but when we get to 335, that's just, we can't be bothered to name it.
And, I, you don't know literally, why there anyone...
There's no casualties, no generals, no, you know, no list of dead or anything like that. I take your point, but what are your thoughts about mine? Expenditure in mine.
There was expenditure. People actually put effort into yours, but I do have one ace in the hole. You know, going back to our legal lesson, this is my just one more question. Moment from Columbo. I have sitting in front of me evidence, Jem. I do actually. I brought evidence to the table for this particular one. At this point in time, if you wanted to, on eBay, you could spend £385 and purchase yourself a rare Victorian British cavalry spear from the Crimean War. Now, I put it to you, Mr. Deducu, that at the end of that spear, you will find a point. You will not find any spears. You will find no spear used in the 335 years war. So on pure technical, physical evidence, there are more points in the Crimean War, and the 335 years war was entirely pointless. I rest my case.
That's a mic drop moment. Look, Greg, again, harking back to our legal conversation. You've clearly learned since that one. And we better put them out that way as well. Otherwise, this will be complete gibberish. But I say to you, sir, I submit. I cannot argue that point. That is an absolutely brilliant and cheeky way to win an argument.
Yes, so I've won an argument!
I concede. Oh, no, there have been other times where you said you've won the argument independently, but I am now saying I can't argue that. There are points in the Crimean War, and yours is genuinely without points.
Okay, well, there we go. An incredible moment on the Condensed History Gems podcast. It may have been won on a technicality, but the argument
a
was
a technical
won.
Knockout, not a real knockout.
So, Jem, I've gained victory, but it's over to you now. Do you have something you want to plug this week?
Ooh, okay, let's see. What am I going to plug this time round? Do you know what? I'm going to push on. I'm going to keep saying Silent Crossroads, trying to get a little bit of a renaissance for it. I did some heavy promotion for it in March, and I managed to sell one copy. Come on, guys. It can't be there's only one person out there who wants to read a story, a dramatic historical story stretching a quarter of a century of the 20th century, some of the most interesting periods of the 20th century history. You know, we got love. We got war, we got conflict, we got family drama. It's got something for everybody. You can get it on Kindle for about 99p. The hardback, not hardback, but the physical copy of the book costs a bit more. It's gonna, you know, it's one of these things where everybody who's read it has turned around to me and go, I really like that. Are you gonna write another one? And so I just ask you to take that leap of faith and give it a go. That's all I'm gonna say on that.
Okay, and I've got two plugs this week. I'm going to be a little bit cheeky, as I already have been in this episode.
Yeah, very. Maybe you should call this the cheeky episode.
I don't know. My first plug is going to be for my other podcast, my spin-off podcast. I've really been pleased with the number of people listening to it. I could use a few more ratings and reviews and things for that podcast, though. So please go over and check out Greg Chapman's Tales from the Road. On whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, leave me ratings, leave me reviews. Also, while you're there, leave ratings and reviews for the Condensed History Gems podcast as well. But do go over, have a listen. Oh, and Neon while you're at it too. I mean, if you must, go over and check out that podcast as well. Yeah, go over and check them out. And ratings and reviews, and the same with Gems' book, Silent Crossroads. If you've read it, then do just leave a review, because those really help all any creators that you're trying to help on the internet, any podcast, writers, anything else you follow. Reviews and ratings really do help. 30 seconds from you to leave ratings and reviews can really help boost us up the rankings and let more people see what we do.
Actually, I just jump in there? I apologize, just to jump in there. There is a way to get Silent Crossroads for free. If you're a member of Amazon Prime, not quite sure how you do it, but if you go into the library setting of Amazon Prime, you can get it for free. And actually, I've had over 1,000 downloads that way. And actually, none of those 1,000 people have been bothered to give it a review. So if you're one of those people, come on, if you got a free book and you enjoyed it, please leave a review. It all helps spread the word, as Greg just said.
And my other little plug isn't for me at all, but I'll tell you what, I did get through the post just this week, Jem. I actually got my copy of Chiron Unguarded by Anna Johnson. And I know we discussed this, but Anna Johnson, she came on our podcast back at the beginning of March. We had her on. I have just got my copy of her book, Chiron Unguarded. I will mention it again on a podcast once I've had a chance to read it and enjoy it. But I just wanted to give that a quick mention because I've got it sitting on a desk in front of me. And so I thought I'd mention that as well and say another big thank you to Anna Johnson. And at the same time as mentioning her, also mention that we do like to have guests on this podcast. I don't think we've got any, we've got no banked episodes with guests. So if you have any historical topic you want to talk about, if you want to come on and have some fun, do get in touch with either me or Jim. And that is either at condensedhist on Twitter or it's, now Jim, your Twitter now is...
It's my name. It's at Jim Deduchu, which is D-U-D-U-C-U. Yes.
There you go. Or at Jim Deduchu. Send one of us a message or a tweet, and we will try and get you onto the podcast. But for now, thank you all very much for listening. Thank you, of course, to my wonderful co-host, Mr. Jim Deduchu.
And to my wonderful co-host, Greg Chapman.
And thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. And, of course, on Friday, we'll have a Fast Five. But for now, goodbye. And take care.